I'd like to say a huge thank you to Schwarzkopf for supporting this episode of Grazia Beauty Life Lessons. With 125 years in the hair industry, Schwarzkopf is one of the best known names in the business. Did you know that Schwarzkopf not only invented the first liquid shampoo, but also the first hairspray? Talk about a legacy. Combining quality ingredients, impeccable craftsmanship, and the latest color and styling technology, it is Schwarzkopf's mission to inspire and enable people everywhere to tell their own hair story through products that speak to your identity, let you reinvent yourself, and inspire you to share your hair story. This year, Schwarzkopf are opening up the iconic Schwarzkopf head logo to give a glimpse into the women that use Schwarzkopf, inviting them to share their unique hair stories and the impact their hair has on their identity and confidence.
So the relationship I have with my hair right now is fabulous.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Beauty Life Lessons from Grazia with me, Annie Bishop. Today's guest is Dr. Ifeoma Ejekeme, medical consultant, founder of Adonia Medical Clinic and renowned skincare expert. Dr. Ejekeme has built up a loyal following on Instagram and TikTok through a steady stream of practical and relatable advice and skincare tips, some of which I'm sure we'll be discussing today. In this episode, Dr. Ejekeme gets granular about SPF.
If I have a secret obsession, it's probably trialing sunscreens.
Reveals the unsung hero of a great bedtime routine.
For me, it starts with my skincare. And for me, it's a ritual. It's not just a routine, it's a ritual.
And she talks about curating a dedicated space for self-care.
And it's routine and consistency, building routines and being consistent about them.
So welcome, Dr. Ejekeme, and thank you so much for joining me. How are you today?
I'm really good. It's so good to be here.
I'm so glad. We always kick off by talking about your kind of beauty vibe in general, and I'm so interested to know. So forgive the pun, but are you quite clinical when you're accumulating products? Do you stick to what you like, or do you kind of accumulate, you know, that product on your bathroom cabinet shelves quite quickly?
That is so funny. I love that. Well, I think a bit of both. So I have the beauty products that I just always go back to. And then I have a bathroom cupboard completely full as well of things that I like to try. But I have some staples that no matter where I wander to, I always come back.
Amazing. And speaking of staples, let's talk about your bread and butter skincare. I'm so interested to get into what you love and also your biggest skincare tips. What do you think that people on a kind of day-to-day basis need to know the most in your professional opinion?
In terms of my absolute beauty basics, I have usually five products that I have in my skincare routine. And this kind of overall theme is what I recommend for my patients as well. So the first is my cleanser. I have pretty oily skin, oily blemish prone skin. So I definitely have to do a lot to my skin to maintain. So I start with a foaming cleanser and I use that in the morning and the night. And I love the Obagi foaming cleanser. It just worked for me for a long time. After that, I go in with an antioxidant. And for me, my absolute hero antioxidants are the SkinCeuticals antioxidant. And I actually use two of them. I love the Floritin. I use that all over my face and my neck. You're supposed to use four drops. I pretty much use the entire pipette. And I do that everywhere. And then I go in with the Silymarin. And the Silymarin has a bit of salicylic acid in it. So I do that over areas that I see pores. So my cheeks, my T-zone, and sometimes around my jaw. Then I have my moisturizer and I use the Obagi Hydrate as my moisturizer. And then my sunscreen. Now my sunscreen, I do play around with sunscreens. If I have a secret obsession, it's probably trialing sunscreens. So with my sunscreen, at the moment, I'm using the Biore Aqua Rich, which is a factor 50. And I love it because it doesn't leave a white cast. It goes on clean. It's not sticky. And it doesn't give you any form of residue on the skin. So makeup goes on beautifully over the top. So that's my current skincare musts.
Amazing. And I love that you'd constantly trial these SPFs. What kind of grew that obsession? Why is that a thing for you?
Well, finding an SPF as a Black and melanin-rich woman is pretty much impossible. At least it was. But now it's getting so much better. So I would go to the shops and see this sunscreen that's buzzing on the internet. I would put it on and look like I was wearing a mask. It was actually ridiculous. So I just kept trialing different ones, loads and loads of different ones. And then I kept seeing, actually, you know what? There are some really good brands out there. This one works if I want a matte finish. This one works if I want more of a glowy finish. And some some days I don't like to wear makeup, so I like to have more glowy skin, and the sunscreen can really help with that. So that's kind of how it started. And then I went down a rabbit hole of like, ooh, this one has niacinamide. This one has vitamin C. And now my sunscreen cupboard is its own separate thing.
You have your own separate sunscreen cupboard. I love that. And I've seen your tips on TikTok and Instagram are so practical and so helpful. So are you quite quick to react to kind of skincare things that you see are trending? Is that something you do to sort of combat that misinformation, so that if there's something out there that's trending and people are spending money on, you can quickly say, yes, this lives up to the hype, or actually maybe it's not for everybody, proceed with caution, that sort of thing?
I really do. So a lot of the time when I'm talking to my Instagram, a lot of my patients follow me. So I'm talking to them first, because I know in the next day there's going to be loads of questions. So I often will get to them quickly and say, no, guys, don't do that. Don't do this. Or actually, yes, this process works really, really well. If you've got dry skin, yes, we love slugging. If you've got acne, we don't love slugging. You know, so these sorts of tips, I think, are really good just to get out to the general public, but also speaking to the people that listen to me, that follow me, and my patients.
Amazing. And moving on to makeup, how into makeup are you? What are your biggest tips when it comes to makeup? And I'm interested to hear about what you think about, because of obviously your profession, all the kind of skincare makeup hybrids that are now kind of abounding and are quite big.
I actually really love the skincare makeup hybrid. If you think about it, we wear makeup. Some people do no skincare and they only use makeup. So, and skincare and makeup, I think, are totally intertwined. And your makeup stays on your skin. At least you reapply your makeup, what most people do, throughout the day. So you may spend 12 hours with something on your skin. And it'd be great if that something had ingredients that were beneficial to your skin and certainly not harmful to the skin. So I absolutely love skincare makeup hybrids. I use them in my own makeup routine. I'm always looking for something that has some hyaluronic acid in it, some ceramides in it, some glycerin in it, something that can help improve the quality of my skin, even though it's makeup. So for me, my makeup kind of style is quite minimalist, unless I'm going to a big event. So day to day, I try to leave the majority of my skin, like I have today, no makeup on. I'll use concealer, but I'll use a concealer that has added ingredients. And right now I'm using, I've got that in front of me now, the NARS. I've got the Caramel Deep 2, and it's the Radiance. And this has added ingredients in it to help hydrate the skin. So one of the areas that this is so important is underneath the eyes. If you've ever not moisturized underneath your eyes and then used a cakey makeup, you can see how bad that sits. And it just kind of creases and exaggerates lines that you never even knew were there. But if you have some really good hydration, a great skincare base, and then go in with a really hydrating concealer, you can really have a lovely result to your under eyes and actually any blemishes on the skin. So that's kind of how I go in. I go in with a creamy concealer underneath my eyes on any blemishes that I see. And then it's all about eyeshadows. And I'm currently using the Sweetest Tea 35T, this one. And this has a palette that's really glowy. That's the only way I'd describe it, glowy. It's got kind of golds, pinks, and then some browns in it. So it's a really lovely everyday, but has some glitz in it. So if you want to kind of glam it up at night, you can also do that. Because as it comes to makeup, I'm so minimal, so minimal. And that's about it. Mascara, bit of lipstick, I'm good to go.
I love that. And I always appreciate it when a guest has it all laid out in front of them and I can just see them picking everything up. Right, on to hair. Talk to me about hair. What are your top hair tips? What do you love?
So when it comes to hair, I have a whole routine. And I've been experimenting for the last few years on different brands that I really like for my hair care. And there are a few that I love. So when it comes to shampoo and conditioner, I love the Ameliorate. The Ameliorate is just so hydrating. It's such a hydrating shampoo and a wonderful conditioner. I have really thick 4C afro hair, which means that detangling can be a full day process if you don't have the right products. But if you have the right products, it's a dream. And the Ameliorate conditioner makes it a dream. I use a tangle teaser with my Ameliorate conditioner and literally just get it through my hair. The amazing thing about that is I also use it on my daughter's hair and it also works beautifully. So that's one for the whole family. And then I love the Ori by TT. Ori by TT has this lovely serum oil that I put into my hair, which again smells beautiful and just melt into my hair. And it's a bit of a treat for me, actually. So that's something that I absolutely love. And then another brand that I really like for scalp treatments, for end of hair treatments, is Afrocentrics. So Afrocentrics is, you can get it anywhere now, which is so great. I used to have to order it online, but now you can find it everywhere. And they have a great shampoo, conditioner, but the one that I love in their line is the oil. The oil literally smells like heaven. You put it on, I use it as a pre-shampoo treatment. I use it as a post-shampoo treatment through the week. They have a spritz and I just use that in my hair. So my hair is almost always like this. So I have it in two flat twists. So having something that I can just spritz, bit of oil, flat twist, good for work.
Gorgeous. I'm loving these reams of product recommendations that are coming for you and wanting to know everything down. And I have to agree with you on the smell of those Orbe products. They are stunning. I don't know what they do, but I have the body cream, I have the shampoo, I have everything. And I swear at one time you could buy a candle. It was so popular. Actually, they have a fragrance, don't they? I remember reading one time that Meghan Markle, sort of back in the days when I was obsessed with suits, that blog, or maybe it was her blog, and she spoke about the fragrance, and I was like, yes, Meghan, that smell is insane. It's such a signature. Gorgeous, isn't it? And then moving on to body care, which I'm assuming we'll kind of dive back into that skincare knowledge of yours. And I am assuming from a professional standpoint that you find it impossible to buy a body care product without kind of getting quite techie about the ingredients. Is that right? Or is it more of a kind of sensorial thing for you?
Do you know, I was just having this conversation yesterday with a friend about how much do I use science and how much do I use exactly that, the sensorial aspect. And for me, I used to be completely science. If it doesn't have these actives, I'm not interested. I don't want to see it. But then one of the really interesting about skincare and body care is if it doesn't feel good, you're not going to do it. If it smells really bad and it's sticky, you'll fall out of your habits. So I've gotten to a really blended approach now where you have your staple key ingredients that pack the punch, and then you have something about your routine that feels nourishing, that gives you a little bit of time where you're like, you know, it smells good, it's just a bit of time for me, and it becomes a ritual. And if I can give you one advice about getting the kind of skin that you want and healthy skin, it is consistency. And it's routine and consistency, building routines and being consistent about them. And sometimes, you know, the products can change, but if you have that routine and consistency, then you really, really do get leaps over time. So in my body products, it's a bit of a mix. I have the Skin Fix. This is one that I've recently found. Oh my goodness, I love it. So it's the Skin Fix Lipid Body Cream. And I'm just going to open it so you can see. So if I open it, it literally looks like whipped cream. Imagine whipped cream with a bit of shea butter in it.
I'm down for that.
It has a very light scent, but when you put it on, it's just so lovely when it goes on your body. And then it has all my great ingredients that I love. I have very dry skin on the body. So it's got ceramides, it's got emollients, it's got fatty acids in it. So it's very hydrating and it stays on for a long time. So I don't like a moisturizer that I put on and 5 hours later I'm dry again. So it has to give me that longevity. And I love that with the Skin Fix. The other thing that I will use if I don't have the Skin Fix is I just use natural shea butter from Ghana. So I will normally put something like the Skin Fix, even the CeraVe moisturizing cream on. And then over the top, I am that dry, I will use an oil or shea butter because I love to be glowy. And that's kind of the level of moisture I need.
If something has quite a high oil content, am I right in thinking it's occlusive? So it keeps whatever's underneath it locked in?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. So whenever you're layering products, there are a couple of rules. So you always go thinnest to thickest. So you'll start with kind of serums, water-based, then cream-based, and then oils on the top. The only exception to that is your retinoid on your face. That's the only exception to that. The exceptions are on the face. Obviously, retinoids are always done at night and they form part of my nighttime routine. But after you wash, if you tone as well, you tone, and then the next step should be retinoids. And then over that, thinnest the thickest, and try not to put an occlusive, try not to put an oil over retinoids, it's just too much.
And we'll be back right after this little aside on Schwarzkopf, the craftsman with 125 years of expertise in hair. Leave it to Schwarzkopf to deliver color and styling products that make way for reinvention. In the spotlight today is Schwarzkopf's Oleo Intense range, their first oil-based at-home hair color. Infused with caring oils, you can rely on the Oleo Intense lineup to nourish your hair as it colors and leaves your lengths gleaming with radiant shine. Now with new haptic system, which creates micro bonds and strengthens the hair structure for up to 90% less hair breakage, for beautiful hair results you can see and feel. So whether you're toying with an all-out revamp or refreshing your signature look, head to schwarzkopf.co.uk to find your perfect Schwarzkopf Oleo Intense shade. Finally, and I think it's a subject that leads on quite nicely from body care, talk to me about self-care. You're very busy, you're very successful, constantly on the go. How do you wind down and how would you advise others to do the same?
So I have quite a good nighttime routine that I developed when I was in residency. So part of my training was in the States. And if anyone knows about the residency in the US, it's a harrowing process. The training is great, but it's a harrowing process. And we would have these like 4-week stretches where we would do nights for 4 weeks. So I had to develop a routine around sleep that would help me be able to wind down to sleep. And I actually think sleep hygiene is something that should be taught in schools, and trying to get to sleep is not always an easy process. So here are my tips in that kind of winding down. For me, it starts with my skincare, and for me, it's a ritual. It's not just a routine, it's a ritual. The products that I've mentioned so far are products that help me physically on my skin. And then I have my bathroom is a sensorial experience. So I have a candle. I have brands that I like to look at. Like, there's certain brands that they may not be the ones that I use on my face all the time, but when I see them, they make me feel good. They smell great. I actually have them out. So like usually those are the super, super luxury brands that I'm literally using the amount of a rice for each time, but they make me feel good. And that's something that helps me in my evening wind down. So what I'm looking at, then there's smells as well. So I use lavender. So in my bathroom, there's lavender. In my bedroom, there's lavender. And lavender, again, helps you with that. It's time to relax and go to sleep. I always have something warm before I go to sleep. So about an hour before going to bed, I do try and turn down as much of my laptops, phones. I try and put away as many screens as possible. Sometimes that's possible, sometimes that's not, but it's always a goal. And then turn the lights down so that I don't have full lights on about an hour before. I make something really warm to drink. So I always have a warm uncaffeinated drink. Like at the moment I have So Delicious. It's a cardamom drink. But sometimes I just have like ginger and honey. And I just put it, no caffeine, in a warm mug and just have it there before I go to bed. I have a journal at my bedside and I empty my thoughts. So I'll just write down all the things that are racing in my mind for the day, write them all down, any plans for the next day. So it's all out. Always in my pajamas. I have like my nighttime wear, get into my pajamas and then just sit and just journal whatever is coming out, just junk journal, as I like to call it, everything on the page. And then that's it. And by the time I've done all of that, I'm tired. I'm warm. So bringing your body temperature up has been shown to increase melatonin and help you sleep. Reducing light has been shown to help you sleep. So each of these steps are actually to try and change your body's circadian rhythm and start to calm yourself down to sleep. And then you're ready to sleep.
God, I feel so calm just listening to that routine. I need to do, and I get what you mean about those. And I think that's that Marie Kondo thing, those products that spark joy and, you know, are there to smell and to look at and to make you feel great. And I totally get that. I'm interested in the phrase you use, sleep hygiene. What do you mean by that?
So sleep hygiene is doing very specific practices to help you wind down to sleep. It's something that I talk about in my consultations at the clinic. I actually go through a whole section about how do you sleep. And somebody comes in with, you know, I want glowing skin. And I'm like, tell me about your sleep. And they're like, well, I'm not sure how that's relevant today. But sleep is so important when it comes to skin. It's not just about how long you sleep, it's how you sleep. So is your sleep broken or unbroken? So I talk to my patients about some very specific steps, and this is sleep hygiene, about how to wind down sleep. So if you bear with me, I'll go through them in steps. So the first thing is only ever use your bed and your bedroom if you can for two things, getting jiggy with it and for sleep. That's it. It's the PG version. That's the mummy version. So that's
that.
The only
great advice.
And try not to use your bedroom as your workspace. Even if there's even if you just have one room, take a corner of it for work. Don't use your bed as your workspace because it will change the relationship that the hormones in your body have with your bed. So it will not start to rise melatonin. About an hour before bed, put away all blue light. So phones, laptops, TVs, put all of them away. Change into your nighttime clothes. So physically, that's the tactile change. Your body now tactically knows I'm putting on my pajamas. Change your body temperature. So either have a warm bath or drink a warm drink. This increases your body temperature again, and this helps with sleep. Then light and sound are very important prior to bed. No loud sounds, no banging, nothing like that. All of these can help soothe you before going to bed. Have a nighttime smell. So what you're doing is you're telling each of the senses it's time to sleep. My nighttime smell is lavender. Yours could be vanilla pod, or it doesn't matter, something that you love. That's your nighttime smell. So that could be as a flower, that could be as a spray, it could be as a candle, or anything around your room. So your body is now saying, okay, I'm smelling the smell, it's time to go to sleep. Lie in your bed, and then junk journaling is so important. One of the main reasons people don't sleep is thoughts going around in your brain. There's a part of the brain, and that part of the brain is called the reticuloendothelial system. And this part of the brain helps your body hold on to or remember things. So it's there to help you. It's like, you know, when you've forgotten something, you're trying so hard to remember it, your body just can't let it go. What's happening there is that your body is sorting through different elements and trying to decide what's important and not important. And that process also continues at nighttime. And if there is something on your to-do list that you haven't quite sorted out, your body's going to keep trying to hold on to it. That's going to keep you awake. So if you've ever woken up at nighttime and you're like, what's that thing? My laundry. Why am I up thinking of laundry? This is so unimportant. This is why the junk journaling is so important. Pick it up, keep it at the side of your bed. And I tell my patients, don't get out of bed. Don't walk around. Just open up your journal at night. Write down everything, no matter how nonsensical it seems. Close it. And you'll find that once you let it go, you can go straight to sleep. So doing all these things, train your brain, and actually, after you've done it for a couple of days, even weeks, and for me, it's about 21 days, then as you walk towards your room and the lights go down low and the smells start, you start to feel rested. You start to feel relaxed and you start to feel sleepy. And as you've done all these things, it's so much easier to then go to sleep. The last thing is, if you can, make sure that you reduce light. So I use an eye patch. And so if you can, do something that covers the light so that now it's your final step to go to sleep, is to put your eye patch on, and you'll be surprised how quickly you sleep compared to before.
I've learned so much, and I'm already puzzle piecing in the bits that I don't do. I am quite good. I'm like you. I have a nighttime smell. It's lavender too. I've had that since I was little. I am quite good at putting my phone away, and I didn't even think about it, but I actually don't use my bedroom for any work or anything like that. But it's the junk journaling that's getting me, because that's the thing that will keep me slightly up at night, is those kind of thoughts of, you know, visualizing your inbox and things like this at work. So junk journaling, that's what I'm going to do.
And for me, the start of that is my skincare. That's like, okay, it's time now. So some people do their skincare when they walk through the door. I like to do it. I like to save it. Save it to right before I go to bed. I turn the lights down low. I put my candles on and I just take it off. Some days it's quick. And some days I can really take my time with my neck and going down into my chest. But it's that time where I know I have an appointment with myself. I'm going to do all my steps. And even on the days when I get in late, that step doesn't go. I still go into the bathroom. I do all the steps. They may take 30 seconds that day and they all go on. And then everything gets sped up, but you do all those things. You go downstairs, you grab your little mug, you're sitting at your bed, you're junk journaling, you're sipping your tea, you want to get into bed, and then that's it. So it can be a long process or it can be a very, very compact process.
Amazing. Thank you so much for taking me through that. And thank you so much for all those tips. It's been incredible. At the end of every episode, we always kind of finish by talking about the guest's biggest beauty blunder to date. Although quite frankly, I can't imagine you getting anything wrong at this point. But is there one tiny occurrence over the years that springs to mind?
Oh, I've had many beauty blunders over the years. And I used to battle with acne in my 20s. So that's probably one of the reasons that I went into skin. And I did general medicine and then did specialist training in aesthetic medicine. and skin because I struggled so much. So I did it all. I did baking soda on my face and toothpaste on my face. I literally tried to burn the spots off and then developed really dark marks, which took months to go. So I definitely have been in that bucket of being like trialing everything and nothing works. So I not only empathize with my patients when they tell me some of the things that they've done, I'm like, oh no, don't worry. No judgment here. I've done it too. I've been there. I've done it too.
Yeah, I've been there, and those kind of really harsh, bright orange solutions that sting as soon as you put them on that seem to be the only thing on the supermarket shelves that you could buy for it. I'm totally with you. I did the same. So what, you know, apart from obviously things that your GP can recommend or your dermatologist or prescribe, what would you say are the, you know, the expert approved first steps when looking to temper acne?
So the first step that I would say is look at the things that you're doing that may be triggering it. So triggers are really, really important. We know now that when it comes to diet, there are two things that are important. Not fried food and not nuts, which a lot of my patients tell me. It is actually sugar and having diets that are really high in sugar. And the second is if you're intolerant to dairy, continuing to have dairy. And I have so many patients that are like, oh my goodness, I love cheese, but I'm allergic to cheese, but I love cheese. If that's you, you've got to ditch the cheese. You've got to ditch all the dairy. That's the first thing. The second is other triggers is make sure that you are cleansing your skin twice a day. Make sure you're removing your makeup and avoiding excess oil in your routine. So throw out the oil balms, throw out the really oily concealers, switch to mineral and oil-free. Throw out any moisturizers that are made for dry and mature skin because you have oily skin. So that would be the first thing. The next is to simplify your routine. Don't jump from product to product to product. And I really empathize personally when I was going through this journey in my early 20s. Try not to do that. You need 5 key products. So if you're not sure what's going on, a foaming or a gentle cleanser, a water-based moisturizer, and then your sunscreen should really be very, very matte. So some great sunscreens that you can get over the counter if you're suffering with spots. Eucerin Oil Control is excellent. La Roche-Posay Oil Control, that's also very good. HelioCare Water Gel, excellent. These three are brilliant. So these sorts of sunscreens can be really good and they won't aggravate it. The next element that we look at are some active ingredients in your routine to then try to start reducing the burden of spots. So benzoyl peroxide in the form of acnicide, you can now get over the counter. That's really good. The second is salicylic acid. So salicylic acid at 2% can help to balance the oils in the skin. So these can be really, really helpful to try and reduce the burden of spots. And then the third, totally unsung hero in spots, is azelaic acid. Azelaic acid is absolutely amazing. It helps with redness if you're a lighter skin type, pigmentation if you're a darker skin type. It helps to balance oils. And most importantly, it's anti-inflammatory. So you can get it up to 10%, I think even 12% now in some brands over the counter. So these are some things that you can add into your routine. Now you pair that with specific medication that you can get from your GP, you can get from your doctor, and that can be really helpful if this is not enough. The most important thing I would say is that if you're getting acne and it's causing scarring, seek help, go into your GP, get a referral to a dermatologist in the NHS. There are so many things that you can do. You know, at the clinic, there are chemical peels that you can do. There are other treatments that can sit alongside the medications that you're having as well.
Amazing. I wish I'd had that advice when I was sort of really post-bit. My skin continues to be hormonal, so it's something that always crops up. And I think the, you know, the words that you spoke on cleansing, I think it's almost quite a sensitive subject for a lot of people, because I think a lot of people who go to somebody and say, I've got spots, what do? The first thing people will say is, are you drinking enough water? And are you cleansing? And then everyone's like, yes. But what you're asking is, how are you cleansing? Is that working for you? Are you kind of take, and it's such a fine balance, isn't it? Because with acne, you have to at once cleanse properly, but also be gentle.
Don't over cleanse, exactly.
It's a tricky balance. So it is something that you interrogate, I guess, as a pro.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the most important things, acne skin is not dirty skin. That's not what's happening. It's not. So you can't wash away the acne. You can't scrub away the acne. You mustn't try to do that. It just leads to scarring. It's about having a really compact routine. And every step of your routine should be doing something and not over drying it So some people, you know, their cleanser is a salicylic acid, the serum is salicylic acid, the moisturizer is salicylic acid. This is too much. So what we're saying is just one in your routine, just one. And it doesn't have to be every day. It could be 3 times a week, 5 days a week. I tell my patients this rule of 3-5-7. So when you're introducing something into your routine, remember 3-5-7. Use it 3 times a week for the first week, then 5 times a week, and then every night. That's the same for retinoids. That's the same for anything strong. Because a good thing, even a great thing too much, it's not good for your skin. And everybody's too much is different. So remembering that 3-5-7, bringing it in like that means you'll find your right balance without it being too much.
Amazing. Again, golden advice. And I have to apologize because I caught you right when you were about to dip off and I was going to let you go, but I couldn't. I needed all those tips because you're giving such solid advice that I needed more. So thank you so much for bearing with. And thank you for joining me today. As I said, it was, you know, it's been so informative and I've learned so much, and I hope all you guys have as well. And I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Oh, I've had such a good time. It's been so lovely chatting, Annie.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Beauty Life Lessons from Grazia with me, Annie Vischer. Please keep listening for more episodes and listen back to previous episodes for some amazing guests sharing their top beauty tips. And don't forget to leave us a rating and a review. It really does make the difference to people finding us. See you next time. And thanks again to Schwarzkopf for supporting this episode. With 125 years in the hair industry, they want to inspire and enable you to unleash the power of hair to tell your story. Take Schwarzkopf's Keratin Hairspray, for example, a stronghold spray that not only delivers unbeatable hold, it's an updo essential, but boosts your hair's shine with every wear too. Then the Schwarzkopf's Vitamin B5 Hairspray, a go-to for volume and lift, and Schwarzkopf's Ceramide Hairspray, which provides the perfect balance between strength and suppleness. Talk about multitaskers.
I am proud of my hair and I'm proud of myself.